coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ray, I was born ready.
Oh my god. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I am your host, Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, my co-host, life partner, and shower mate, reverse bizarro flash pants, and we can't forget Alpha Stork.
We said we would never speak of that again.
Alpha Stork, the Jedi.
Oh, cool, yes, Alpha Stork.
And I'm coming in hot with this because I'm so excited that he's on the show. It's always too long in between when he isn't. Podcasting brother, Jedi Cole Universe, podcasting host in his own right, partner, fellow wine drinker, and connoisseur of all things sports, Eddie the Madman Medina. Funky Cole Medina is joining us tonight, and I can't be more excited.
And that's why he's so excited.
Yes, because I'm pantsless now. I was really wanting, and this is a true story. I was trying to come tonight with my Batman boxers for the topic and all, but it being a laundry day, all I could come up with was my Darth Vader boxers. So I'm bringing a little bit of the Rancor pit to the show. If that's okay.
There you go.
Hey,
that
you know what?
Appropriate.
I always bring a little bit of the Rancor pit to the show. I'm not even on the show, and I just bring a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
It's
of
what
course.
I call my dick. Yeah, this is happening already. This is happening already.
By dick, you mean lightsaber.
I mean, by lightsaber, I mean Vienna sausages. I keep a can.
But it is also simultaneously
keep a can
in a Darth Vader action figure.
It is. Well, it's more like, you remember the, of course you remember, the original Kenner toys. It just slides out a little bit and it's blue.
You got a telescopic dick.
I do, and I always end up losing it in the yard, and having to go to vintage toy shops and buying new ones, slapping them back in there. All right, well, this is going to be a different show than our show last week with Josh Watson, as you can tell.
Yeah, if you haven't figured that out yet, Josh brought a level of professionalism that this show will lack.
I always get this way when Eddie's on a show.
I know.
Why?
Being on a show with the two of you, and I'm being completely honest, it brings out like a childlike whimsy in me that I really enjoy like doing. Like I don't feel like it's so serious, you know, I can have fun with it. We can still talk about what we need to talk about, but I feel it's a lot more fun and enjoyable for me.
Or as we say on the Rancor Pit, why so serious?
Right.
I don't think we've ever said that.
So we're going to now.
Or as we say on the Rancor Pit, never.
Why have we not yet? Is that my
point? I know, that's really what that's all about.
So if you haven't figured it out by now, Cole and Eddie host the Rancor Pit and the Rancor Pit Live. And Eddie and I and Cole have been doing podcasts together for what feels like millennia.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a great joy, Eddie. And I'm not being a dick here. It is a great joy to have you on the show. And run up,
we've been doing this since before either of you were born.
Right.
In my brain.
But we've been.
Thank goodness someone invented the internet
to make you not crazy.
That's right.
But in this run up to 200, which this is issue 191, so we are in the 10 issue run up to 100 now, or 200. I'm an ass. 200.
We just completely missed that 100 run there.
I feel like we're doing a It's a Wonderful Life or a This Is Your Life, Hey Kids Comics, where I want to have all of our favorite guests back on the show, and Eddie is, of course, you know, the perfect choice for that. But tonight we are talking. Last week we talked about the Riddler, and it was a great show. Josh did a great job.
It was dynamite. It was absolute dynamite.
And
I mean, but, come on, you can't go wrong with Josh Watson as on a podcast about the Riddler. Come on.
Well, we were fully prepared for him to be coming in method. He didn't, but we were. It might have been the first time I've ever talked to him where I had to, you know, I didn't have to draw Josh out, ask the Riddler if Josh could come out and play. But
it would have been like that scene in Ghostbusters where he's trying to get Dana out of Zool.
Right.
You know? Yes. There is no Josh. There is only Riddler.
Thank you, sir, for picking that one up.
But Cole, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight's episode is Silly Bird. And, of course, we're talking about none other than the Penguin. And a little bit of setup on every now and again, the titles I'll come up with for shows refer to things that are fairly obvious, you know, pop culture references. Because as the Toyminator himself, Russell King, used to point out, like, everything you say is a reference. That itself became a reference. But the title
That sounds nothing like Russell Crowe.
Hey, leave Stu out of this.
Oh, you said Russell King. Russell King. Okay.
But
not Martin Luther King, but Russell King. Okay.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of confusion going on. You have to preface that, and I forgot to do that. So,
I thought Stephen King was a writer.
Now I don't even know who I'm talking about.
No, he's an actor from Creepshow.
That's right. That's right.
He did some meteor shit one time. But anyway.
He did some meteor shit.
That's what all the kids are doing it now.
That's right. So obviously, I was thinking of Stephen King, not Russell King. But at the AllCon several years ago did a little promotional video that was Con Etiquette featuring James Dolan's as Voltan.
Oh, yes.
And one of the lines in that was, you know, Voltan's going around trying to learn how to be a good con goer, and the narrator at one point just goes, "Silly bird." That is just perfect for this.
Well, if you haven't listened, if you didn't listen to last issue, the idea of this spawned from an email that Cole sent me, and it said, "Hey, I got an idea for a show. I want to have Josh on. We have never had him on, and really talk about the Riddler and have Josh talk about it because he and Josh had a conversation at a convention." To which I immediately responded.
Yeah, a conversation basically. I want to point out that Josh was afraid he had talked my ear off, and I told him, number one, not at all, because it was very engaging, thoughtful conversation, and that's wherein the difference lies. I can listen to people talk all day if it's worthwhile, but I said also, now I know how other people feel when I get started talking.
Right. So well, I immediately
like someone else.
They say the first step to recovery is admitting the problem.
Never.
I also like having Eddie here because I feel like we can Voltron up to the size of Cole and fight him.
Yes!
I feel like we can Power Rangers up. But
so Eddie is like the left foot and the right arm, and Andrew's the head, but not the one on the shoulders.
That's right.
Oh.
But see, I go at ramming
Andrew
speed,
more
sir.
More like the Constructicons and Michael Bay's Transformers.
I just got big swinging metal nuts, buddy. Big swinging metal nuts. So. So I immediately respond to Cole.
The funny thing is, in Michael Bay's film, the left nut got more attention. That became the internet star.
Oh my God! We are eventually going to talk about the. Maybe we won't. Maybe we just won't talk about the Penguin tonight. And I'm honestly kind of okay with that. But I immediately responded to Cole's email and said, "BS. This is an entire story arc." And he responded back, you're right, here's what we're going to do. And then to which I responded back, actually, we're going to take it one step further than that, and we're really going to dissect these characters down to the minutia instead of just doing an issue on, like, you know, what makes these characters in the comic books. I really want to look at them. And then we had Eddie on and all that with the shit. So...
Yeah, right. Well, your first mistake was being vague with me because you said Penguin, And I'm thinking we're going to talk about four-time Stanley Cup winners, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, yeah, because you know we love us some sports on this show.
Right, listen, right. When I was thinking this was Super Probo Sports Balls 3 or something.
Exactly. We would have confused you because all we ever bring you on for is to talk
exactly,
about.
Thank you.
Listen, when you get Lemieux on the ice and you get Coffee in the net, you really have a power team. Yeah, I can talk about the Penguins. Who wants some? This is the one sport I can talk about.
Operating system.
Oh, Linux? Do you want to talk about Linux?
Oh, I got confused.
I also thought we were going to talk about March of the Penguins with Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
So many ways.
I was confused. I thought you were talking about Pepe Lemieux.
Pepe Lemieux? Shit. You better bring this thunder next year for our annual Super Pro Bowl Sports Balls episode.
That's great.
But, you know it.
So what I want to do with this, and I think what Cole, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but really take a look at the Penguin and how he reflects Batman and the creation of the Penguin and what he represents and psychologically and
absolutely, because like as we'll discuss in the final episode, A Barrel of Laughs with the Joker, when Bob Kane created the Penguin, he took his inspiration, oddly enough, from some sort of print ad.
Oh,
well, he took
you hit Cole, you have fallen into the Bob Kane lie. Bob Kane, let me set the record straight here. Bob Kane did not invent the Penguin, as he likes everyone to believe if you watch the DVD documentary.
Bring it. Bring it. I want to hear it.
Writer Bill Finger created the Penguin. Some people will say and Bill Finger, but...
I want to break in here real quick, Eddie.
Yeah.
I want you to continue this, but at the very end of the show, after the credits roll... I'm going to put in a clip of you going, writer Bill Finger! That's going in the end. Just want you to know that. Now, please continue, sir.
I'm going to do it all throughout the podcast.
Please do. Whenever you feel it bubbling up inside of you, release the finger. Release the finger.
Before I became a learned man, I also fell for the Bob Kane trap, thinking that Bob Kane had
invented a trap.
Right, the Penguin and the Batman and all. But I think credit has to go to Bill Finger, and he had the idea to base it on just an Emperor Penguin, and this would be Roger Bill Finger. Emperor Penguin, because it kind of like to kind of poke fun at aristocrats. Sorry, it's the Red Moscato talking. It's the Red Moscato. Anyway, Bob Kane, being Bob Kane, and has admitted himself that he'll take credit for whatever is thrown his way.
Well, in all fairness, he outlived Bill Finger, so he could say whatever the hell he wanted.
Exactly. The inspiration for the Penguin came when he was looking at a pack of smokes, saw the Penguin on the pack of smokes, and thought...
The Willy the Cool, right? The Willy the Cool smokes.
Something, yeah. That's right. And then said, oh, that's a funny little guy there. It kind of reminds me of a Penguin, and maybe I'll create a character for Batman called the Penguin. You know, that typical Bob Kane.
That's the way he sounded.
That was so typical.
That was like I was actually watching a documentary on Bob Kane. That was impressive.
Damn. Or created Bob Kane, Bill Finger, or both.
It actually turned out that it was actor Conrad Veidt.
Damn it.
Really? Laughs. They were asked if they could base the Joker on him, and he says, you know, you can as long as you do a character based on an Emperor Penguin, like on my favorite cigarettes.
Okay. So Bob Kane stole from him. I see. Okay.
Naked Lady on the Camel Pack. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What was that? Go ahead. Subliminal. I was just being subliminal here.
The other cigarette-based villain that never made the comics was sort of mishmash character Camel Toad.
Damn it!
Sort of half camel, half toad creature.
So, was it Finger or was it Kane?
That works well with the earlier joke, by the way.
It was.
I'm stuck on the camel toe. I mean, toad.
You get... So is Cole. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
So
it was actually from the Muggerville 7.
You know, I think it's one of those things that we'll really never know. But if history says anything, I'm going to give more credit to Bill Finger than to Bob Kane. Now you're going to get me started on the whole...
That's a fair assessment.
No, I think...
You're going to get started on the whole Steve Ditko, Stan Lee, Spider-Man thing, but I'm going to refrain from that anyway.
I don't know why you're refraining from that, but that's beside the point. The internet is awash with two different stories of where the Penguin came from. You know, either the Penguin was a farce on the aristocracy because men in tuxes... The fat little men in tuxes look like penguins. There's a lot of New Yorker style editorializing going on there. It was either that, or it was the Chili the Cool penguin from the cool cigarette ads. It was one of those two things.
The other reason why I always thought it was more of Bill Finger's side of the story is because his inspiration more reflects the character of the Penguin. Of all Batman's rogues, the Penguin's not one of these crazies that's hell-bent and fixated on Batman. And all the Penguin is actually like a normal dude who just wants to be a crime lord. He's psychotic.
He runs afoul of Batman, but he's not actually out there trying to
Damn it, Cole. Seriously? You were going to slide through a runs afoul of Batman joke when we were talking about the Penguin? I caught you.
He didn't even realize what he said.
I know, he's so good at it now. He's so tenured at this. It just happens now. So that brings up a valid point. So if you're the Batman, right, and you've got the Riddler and you've got the Joker and you've got Two-Face and you've got Clayface and you've got and you've got
your killer Crocs and your
Tweedledee and Tweedledum
and Ivies and what have you. Yeah.
How does Penguin? How do you react to just a really smart businessman trying to take control of the city through crime? How do you react to that? Do you have any other way to react to that if you're Batman other than like the same way you would react to the Joker?
I think at that point you literally have to go the kind of the Elliot Ness route.
RICO statutes?
Just hit him where he lives with get the Fed involved.
But he never does.
Policy.
But he can't do it. He can't. His ego won't allow himself to look into his IRS, back taxes that he owes.
Should have been outsourced to somebody else, but oh no. Somebody has to have it their way.
So... We talked about with the Riddler episode how I feel like the Riddler is the only villain in Batman's rogues gallery that really doesn't humanize Batman.
Yes.
In the sense that the Riddler and we also talked about how, we're basically talking about Batman's chakras when we're talking about the rogues gallery, right? We're talking about all the different component parts that build a Voltron Batman. I feel like the Penguin – do you feel like the Penguin humanizes Batman?
That's an interesting question, Eddie. Well,
the Penguin's a reflection of the Bruce Wayne side of him.
Exactly.
He's like the bizarro Bruce Wayne. They're both debutantes, but one is good-looking and has all the women. The other is the outcast freak that was made fun of as a kid.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, he is literally – Penguin represents – but 1% of the rogues gallery.
Damn. Good.
Wow. Literally to the point that Joker, Two-Face, Poison Ivy, and even Magpie got in on this. They were the founders of Occupy Arkham.
I can't believe you threw Magpie in there.
Gentleman, Gentleman Ghost is there.
Gentleman Ghost.
I would almost argue, Eddie, that you could be 50% right for me. I feel like he represents the business side of Batman. Not necessarily Bruce Wayne, but Batman. Okay. Because I feel like I feel like if we talk about any of these people being Batman's arch nemesis, you know, whether it be the Joker, whether it be the Penguin, whether it be Two-Face, I feel – and this is going afield of what we're talking about right now, but I feel like Amanda Waller is Batman, is Bruce Wayne's arch nemesis in the comics. Mm.
Interesting, yeah.
And I feel like that's always been that way because Bruce is always trying to figure out who the superheroes are and how to stop them, and Amanda Waller is creating Suicide Squads and Task Force X's and doing the same thing he's doing. They're competing almost. Whereas I feel like Penguin is there to test – Batman's business acumen, like to be able to track this stuff as Batman, because you can't, Bruce Wayne can't go after the Penguin, really. Mm-hmm. Batman has to, right? Or am I wrong? I'm actually asking.
I think you're on the right track there, because one of the things you see as an analog between the two characters, between the hero and the villain here, is you have this sense that you have two characters that cannot exist, that cannot operate, I should say, without a tremendous cash flow.
Right.
Bruce Wayne is vital to Batman because Batman needs the dough. He needs somebody ponying up for all the latest gadgets and all this crap that he's got to have. He has very expensive tastes.
So Bruce is Batman's sugar daddy.
Pretty much.
Damn it.
Exactly.
Damn it. That's so good.
I'd never really thought of it that way, but that's exactly right.
I love you, Eddie.
But I was so glad, because when we put this out to Eddie, it's like, you know, we'd already had somebody lined up for all the others, and we were like, you know, I could think of people that might be moderately interested or potentially interested, but I don't know them well enough to know if they're engaging conversationalists. And at the same time, I don't be like, well, Eddie gets the last one we had on the roster. Here, let's throw Eddie some scraps. But you have more than thoroughly embraced this.
Oh, I love the Penguin character. I'm just saying that right now.
That's a happy accident there, but, because that's what we really want. But the thing about it is, if you look at the Penguin being who he is, being as he is, quite literally, for lack of a better term, has to outsource everything from muscle to, just about you name it. The Penguin needs someone else there to do it for him, so that's going to require a tremendous outlay of cash. So in a way, he becomes like Bruce Wayne. Oswald Cobblepot becomes like Bruce Wayne. He's to the man of born, the blue bloods tie it easy. And he literally.
Was that your Max Shrek?
That was my.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Thank you. That's my next
question. There was one time in everyone's life they get to hear the sentence, "Was that your Max Shrek?" This is that one time. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
You enhanced my entire life here. As I barrel up on 51, I feel truly I have lived.
But no, I think you're absolutely accurate that he definitely represents that, and not to mention the fact that he is in some ways it could be viewed as collusion. Batman's fighting the Penguin, because in a lot of instances, I would say 49 out of 51%, he is in literal constant battle with Bruce Wayne over finances, over legitimate, real, like legal finances, buildings, land holdings, things like that. So all of a sudden, the Penguin ends up in jail, and Bruce Wayne can have easy pickings over, the Slaughter Swamp trailer park or whatever it might be.
Gosh.
I mean, who's first in line at all? And I'm not kidding, every single one of the police auctions, for any kind of confiscated property. So as often as Penguin's in jail, they're like having to arrange a new auction every 6 weeks for all the stuff that has been confiscated from his ill-gotten gains.
Right.
And, lo and behold, look who showed up. We haven't even announced the big auction yet, Mr. Wayne, but I guess you'll be bidder number one. So quick. I don't know either. Let me get a lozenge here. I don't know either, honestly. It's just.
So are you saying Penguin's not in this so much for the money because he already has it, or is he in it for the thrills?
I think he's definitely in it for the money. I think he likes to
He's just greedy. He just wants as much as he can get.
I mean, if you will, he wants to live the life that he was denied, in a sense. You know, he is an aristocrat, or and even an aristocrat for that matter. But he, you know, he was never allowed to. He didn't get the prep school upbringing. He didn't get to have the holiday home in the Hamptons, or, you know, stroll about Martha's Vineyard, or things like that other, you know, the rich kids all got to do, because he was this deformed little freak who was rejected.
Well, also, let's not rule out how right you are, Cole, in the sense that the Cobblepots, if you follow the lore of the Batman universe, of the Batverse, the Cobblepots were one of the founding father families of Gotham. One of the bridges in Gotham that leads into it is named after them. They're named after all. There's a bridge dedicated to the Waynes, to the Elliots, to the Canes, to the Cobblepots, and I think there's one other family.
The Fingers.
Eddie, that's your cue.
No, they named the sandwiches after them.
Oh, damn.
That's true. That's why rich people call them that. They're artists build finger sandwiches.
This show is coming to you from the Catskills tonight. But the Cobblepot family had a fall from grace. So he should be, by all rights, and knows he should be, contemporaries with Bruce Wayne, or with her name, Kane, the Batwoman.
Oh yeah, Cassandra Kane, yeah.
With Batwoman, with Betty Kane too, the original Batwoman. Yeah. You know, he should be contemporaries with all of these people, and it's been taken from him. And he feels a sense of petty jealousy, and wants revenge on those things.
Jetty Pelosi is far worse.
Far worse. But I feel like...
I think that's where he drove his Chevy to.
It was dry, though. The Jetty Pelosi was dry.
And then it made him even more bitter.
Right, right. And he went and drank a bunch of whiskey and rye.
There you go.
So I think that it's about... as much as it's about money... Because he's not without his own level of kind of megalomania, narcissism, psychoses, just like all the other Batman villains. But I think, honestly, I think Eddie hit the nail on the head. He's the most – I think it was Eddie that said it. Maybe it was Cole, one of the two of you. I've listened to enough Rant Corp Pit. It kind of blends together when you guys are together. That it's as much about power as it is about money. So he'll never stop, no matter how much money he has, because he feels that he deserves the same power.
He is – trying to capture a life he never had that he feels he deserved. And in many ways, the Penguin is the Batman to Oswald Cobblepot's Bruce Wayne.
Damn it, that's good. I like it. That's awesome.
So you have this brilliant dichotomy there, but they're also almost a mirror image of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much like the Batman special or annual, whatever it was. The story was the player on the other side, which had a character called the Wrath, who, you know, his father, they were poor. His father was a criminal who was shot by police.
Yeah.
So, you know, he grows up to become this sort of anti-Batman, and his is this war against the police versus the war against the criminals, neither of whom, in either case, everybody else, you know, a generation later takes the brunt of two really pissy little kids' grudge that they've held for their whole life. This is the same sort of thing, only on a very financial basis. I think deep down, the Penguin is just savoring what he never had.
Right. So, why the affectations? Why wear the ascot, the formal wear, the top hat, the monocle, have the umbrellas that, depending on what, you know, universe, what period you're in, have dirty little tricks built into them?
That's supposed to hypnotize me? Just give me a splitting headache.
What's the point? Is it because the Batman? Is it because in Gotham the only way you're going to get any recognition is to be crazy?
Right. I think that's it. I think that's it exactly. He wants to stand out. He just. It's his way of having a second skin over his deformity.
There you go. Right there. That comes back to what I was saying about being the Batman. The Penguin is – Oswald Cobblepot is this angry little man that grew from an angry little boy. He needs something.
Seems like the opening to a song for some reason.
He was an angry little man.
It's a Johnny Cash song.
I'm an angry little boy. Penguin, what are you? No,
Chris Christopherson live at Red Rocks.
But he literally, this is, like you're saying, a second skin, but it is literally, that is his cape and cowl, is the top hat. And, the you know, he literally puts on the Ritz as an exaggeration of what he never got to have.
Yeah.
He becomes this caricature, you know, physically he's a caricature of a man, of a human being, but he takes on a caricature of that, you know, that aristocracy and the rich and powerful.
It's his way of distracting people from his deformity as the Penguin. You know, look at my flashy suit, look at my top hat, look at my cool umbrella that if I spin it, you know, it'll do something deadly type thing.
Is that girl crazy about a sharp-dressed man?
I agree to some extent. Okay, so I agree up to a point with that. That it is to take away from the deformity, right? I believe that it started as that. Now I might be extrapolating here, and maybe this is my version of the way I would like to see him written, but I get the feeling that I get the feeling that at some point the tables turn, and instead of being a distraction from his deformity, I feel like at some point he wants to draw attention to it. I feel like at some point he says, look at what I am. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I'm capable of accomplishing.
Ah, very nice.
That's actually pretty intriguing. I like that. I like that idea better.
A sort of in spite of.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's ever been implicit, but there's certain stories that I've read that I get that feeling. You know, I get that idea about the character. That it's not. It starts as an in spite of. You know, like look at. Like, you know, like it is a costume. But then at some point, I think it flips to, like, the kind of carnival freak show barker. Like, you know, like look at me. And he can do it because he's less freaky than any other villain in Gotham City. And he's anywhere else, he would be the freakiest dude committing crimes in a city. Put him in Metropolis. I don't care who's there. Freakiest dude. Put him in Keystone City. Freakiest dude. Like, except for, like super guys that Penguin's like, shit, he's freaky. You know, but in Gotham, kind of normal. Kind of just a guy.
He's kind of ordinary, and they're like, oh.
He's using his deformity as a bragging point, basically. Is that what you're saying?
I feel like it's, look how far.
I didn't have to fall into vat of chemicals.
Right. Like, look how far I've come.
If I may make a connection here.
You, of course.
It's kind of like the guys who go on the Howard Stern show to do the small dick competitions.
Like, it's a, yes.
In normal circumstances, that would be something that you want to keep to yourself. But as long as you have the small dick, you might as well be the winner of
the smallest dick
competition. Man. Yes. And use that as a bragging point. Well, it may be small, but at least I can brag about the fact that I've won the competition of small dicks.
But it's smaller than anyone else's.
Right.
But, you know, and there's also a point at which I think you have to do it. You know, it's like the first time.
Howard Stern show?
Yes, you have to whip out your dick on the Howard Stern show. I have to pull out my little blue lightsaber on the Howard Stern show. There's some point at which you, as Oswald Cobblepot, you have to.
He's practically concave.
That you have to. Damn it.
that was from Robot Chicken.
I'm going to finish this thought. I swear to God, that you have to get a shtick to compete. It's like those bad used car lot commercials that used to be on TV, where eventually you have to be like, and this one, you know, you have to eventually be like, all right, well, if I gotta do something, I've got this old tux. This weird umbrella, this top hat, this monocle. if I'm going to rob the bank, yeah, dear, okay, honey, I'm going to do it. I know this is what everybody's going to recognize. It'll be all over the news. I'll finally get the recognition I deserve. Give me the umbrella. I'm heading down to First National. You know, at some point, I feel like that has to happen if you're in Gotham. Like, you have to do something like that in order to be taken at all seriously within, like, the Confederacy.
Even by the time the Penguin comes onto the scene, the Joker, at the very least, if not several others, had already set a precedent. So, you know, you can't just simply be... it's not enough just to be a crime lord.
Right, you have to be a gimmick.
Just mistaken for a common mafioso.
And the sad thing about the Penguin in the Batman universe is he's really the temp agency of the Rogues Gallery. Unfortunately, that's kind of what he's become. He's the manpower of the Rogues Gallery, right? Because everybody, whenever you need a henchman, where do you go? You don't go to Craigslist. You call up the Iceberg Lounge and say, "You got any guys that we can use to rob this bank?"
He is literally like the agency.
Yeah, so
you know, and that's probably where he's really making his money is in fees, because he gets 20% right off the top.
Right. So the poor guy, like, he wants to be this giant crime lord, and in a way, I think that it gives him a certain degree of power over the rest of the villains. If you know, because you've got to get good help, and if Penguin's holding all the cards, you've got to go to him to rent, you know, your muscle.
Yeah.
So it gives him some degree of power over these super crazy heavyweights, you know.
For someone who has little man syndrome, that's perfect situation.
Little man syndrome?
Well, he doesn't?
Well, I imagine, yes. I imagine, and how much, okay, Eddie, very good point. How much of this comes from the fact that he has, as Eddie eloquently put it, little man syndrome?
Little man syndrome.
He has adult Zika. How much of this comes from the fact that...
What was the term you mean
grown man Zika?
I'm lost.
Eddie,
it's the best. Eddie, let him have that.
It's going to be huge. Grown Man Zika is going to be huge.
Sensitive things ever said
on this show might be the most insensitive thing that's ever been said on this show. And Stu's been on this show.
Wait, who was insensitive? Oh, this is something.
Just Google it.
Adult Zika.
Adult Zika. Zika. Adult Zika virus.
What? Like adult onset Zika.
Adult onset Zika! Damn it. Eddie, you bring out the best in us.
I just made it worse.
You did make it worse. You workshopped that into the worst joke we've ever made. But what part of this comes from that Napoleon syndrome? That little man adult onset Zika virus? Like, how much of this pushback comes from the fact that he was bullied as a kid? You know, we talked about, like wanting fiscal stature and societal stature, but how much of this comes from the fact of like, you know, he was bullied and he's taking back power this way, do you think?
I think a lot of it comes, I think that's a big part of his drive is to, well, you know, yeah, exactly, I was bullied as a kid, I was made fun of and this, that, and the other, but now I'm in a position where they have to come to me, they all have to depend on me, and he's loving it. He gets a little taste of that type of power, and he just wants more and more and more. I think a lot of it comes from that.
No, I have to agree, and I, you know, it really does become that sort of, you know, like oftentimes when I'm at the grocery store and a small child is begging for something on like the cookie aisle and not getting it, and I like to just go over and like, I think I'll have some Oreos.
That's so wrong.
For my breakfast tomorrow.
For my breakfast.
Well, it's like when I took
it's like being an adult is the best revenge is what I'm getting at there. And I think in many ways, you know, once you reach a point where you can just rub it in that you can have Oreos for your breakfast, which is what I actually did have for my breakfast.
I rub it out on Oreos for breakfast.
Wow. Talk about a creepy
there's
filler.
There's that lightsaber again.
Ookie cookie.
Talk about a cream filling.
But, no, I think you're right, but also, we were talking about in the hero's journey that is, you know, every Batman story ever, any major story arc, we talked about the Riddler being the first threshold in his hero's journey, right? The first threshold he needs to cross is usually the Riddler. The Penguin usually is the second, because the Penguin has his hand in every cookie jar, his you know, webbed hand in every cookie jar in Gotham. Like we said, he handles the financials, probably the money laundering, the hiring, the henchmening. So
but
Batman,
also, you know, from the standpoint of the hero's journey, if you will, he becomes sort of the encountering the magic mirror, as it were.
Right.
Where you see your other self and are confronted with your opposite, as it were.
In the Batman mythos, he's the Jabberwock.
Yeah.
You know, he's through the looking glass. He's the weird other side of Batman that Batman often has to go to, like the Iceberg Lounge, and confront and say, you know, there's a string of this type of crime happening in Gotham. What do you know about it? And then Penguin, again, with his little man syndrome, has power, holds that power over Batman, holds that power over his.
Come to me.
Right. In the Penguin's mind, is his arch nemesis, his greatest foe. And that's the sad thing about all these villains in Batman's rogues gallery, is that they're all jockeying at all times to be Batman's arch nemesis, trying to one-up each other to get the attention of Batman. It's like the quarterback of the football team, and all of these are, you know, if it was an 80s movie, like Breakfast Club, you Penguin is Ali Sheedy, and Molly Ringwald is, you know, Molly Ringwald is the Joker, and it's really interesting.
In all fairness, Molly Ringwald was always the Joker.
I think Molly Ringwald should have been cast as the Joker.
Oh my gosh.
So speaking of casting, go ahead, Cole, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
It was Eddie, actually.
Oh, Eddie.
I don't know what I was going to say.
It's fair.
I think I was trying to go
for
it.
He was just trying to imitate me to see if he could.
Wait, okay, I know what I was going to say. You were talking about everyone's jockeying, trying to be Batman's, you know, arch nemesis, and in the meantime, you got people like Plastic Man, where Nolan's jockeying to be his arch.
Oh yeah.
Come on. Yeah, I was like, somebody be my arch nemesis for once.
Man, it's just like outsourcing, trying to find somebody.
Right.
He's actually paying guys to come.
That creates a mentality of little man syndrome in the other heroes, because they all want to be Batman. You know, they want to be the ones getting all the arch nemesis. Instead, Batman's the one with all the arch nemesis.
Yeah, I think Flash and Batman are kind of neck and neck for rogues galleries.
Well, you know? And I think that the Flash rogues gallery took all of their cues. They went to they went to the pyramid scheme lunch at the Iceberg Lounge, where Penguin was hosting the, you know, where you pay $40 to sit down to get the job, you know, and they're like, well, you've got to recruit 17 more rogues into the rogues gallery, and then we'll pay you the,
But also, is it Central City, is that right, for a Flash?
Keystone?
Central City is like the Bush League.
That's true, that's
for
true.
For Gotham. It's like Gotham's Bush League.
Right, it's AAA ball for Gotham.
See, I know some sports stuff.
But speaking of casting, I think that, you know, I don't think anybody of our age, probably younger, definitely older, can think of the Penguin without thinking of Burgess Meredith.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
you know what? And you're correct to the point that one of my favorite movie franchises, aside from Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Lethal Weapon, once you get all past that, one of my other favorite franchises is the Rocky franchise. And
oh,
I cannot watch any scene with Mickey and not think, come on, Rock, hit that bomb.
Right, right, yeah.
Sentence with
that's right. Come on, Rock, hit him so hard you see the word pow in the air.
Right. So, how much of
Stanley as Burgess Meredith as Mickey?
as Mickey, yeah.
How much?
I do a lot of work on these.
He really workshops hard. He's
very
he's like
layered impression.
He's
so
he's
very good for recognizing all of the layers.
He's the Kanye West of podcasting.
Oh, wow. No.
It's all he sits there and produces and takes samples from his mind, and puts them into other samples of his mind, just layers of madness. But how much of the comics reflected before? Okay, so but you had the Penguin before the Batman TV show, and then it flipped. And how much of the Penguin that we know now was informed by Burgess Meredith's performance of the Penguin, do you think?
Oh, I think a lot, actually, at least during that period.
Right.
I think in the 60s and 70s, he became very much informed by that Penguin. By the late 80s, early 90s, you see a paradigm that there's a shift where we're now being informed by the Danny DeVito Penguin. If you look at a lot of the imagery, especially, he's traded in tuxes for a very sort of period finery that nobody's kept good care of.
Right, a grotesque.
A lot of artists are drawing stuff that was like great grandpa's stuff that was stuck back in a moldy closet, and it's not that bad. Just put a little Febreze on there.
The flippers came from Danny DeVito, right? That's the first penguin to have flippers.
Tim Burton's warped mind, right?
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
It does. I think everything prior to Tim Burton reflected the comic / Burgess Meredith because they played off of one another. I think the comic version of Penguin reflected Burgess Meredith and the purple pants and everything else. But I'll tell you which, as much as I love the Burgess Meredith Penguin because that was my Penguin growing up, I think my favorite Penguin is actually a even balance of both the Burgess Meredith and the Danny DeVito Penguin. And that's the Tom Kenny Penguin from the Batman series.
Yeah.
That takes just a little bit of each and kind of melds them into, like, the perfect Penguin for me.
Well, Tom Kenny's such a gifted voice actor that it's insane. I was actually, not that this has anything to do with Tom Kenny, I almost got into a fist fight today because somebody said that they didn't like Kevin Conroy. I almost got into a fist fight today.
Oh,
like a legitimate, full-on fist fight.
You don't say that, not even as a joke.
Right. He's like, oh, I just don't, he's so plain. I'm like, I will kill you with my hands. I will kill you with my hands and my teeth. It is going to be go time. No, but you're absolutely right.
It's like, say what you will about Bob Kane, but leave Kevin Conroy alone.
But what's really funny is that I think up to the point where the Danny DeVito Penguin hit, right, what we saw was just was a reflection of that New Yorker idea of you know, Mr. Moneybags, aristocrat, corrupt businessman.
He was a deformed version of Mr. Monopoly.
But he wasn't even – if you look at those comics or the art, he wasn't even deformed. He was just a short, fat guy.
Yeah, he was.
He did have a big old schnoz.
Well, yeah. He had a kind of the shadow Dick Tracy vibe. But it wasn't until that period where he became a real Gotham Rogues monster like the rest.
Yeah,
it wasn't until
the
DeVito when they said,
transition to being a grotesque.
Right. It wasn't until then where they were like, oh, this works. We can use this. Which brings me to another point. How much of the Penguin that we know from the comics, because when was the Penguin, the comic version of the Penguin that we know, when was he kind of introduced in comics? Do we have a ballpark date?
I would say in the 30s.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
He is a very much a product of that era.
That's what I wanted to get to. How much of a product of the gangster movie, the Edward G. Robinson, Mom, top of the world, like, was the Penguin, do you feel?
Well, like, I think, you know, had there been, like, a Batman movie, you know, in the vein that we have superhero movies, even by, say, the 70s and especially the 80s, Edward G. Robinson probably would have been cast as Oswald Cobblepot / the Penguin.
Can you imagine how great that would have been, though? Like, how amazing...
They literally, there are, there's like a generational Penguins move into Burgess Meredith. And I mean, to me, if they didn't cast Danny DeVito as the Penguin and he didn't take the role, I don't know who it would have had to have been a complete unknown.
It would have had to been animatronic. They would have bring ILM in, Kenny
and
Baker.
I do stand corrected. December 1941. He's only been with us since World War II.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 41. And I can't recall where I read this, but at one point when they were talking to Bill Finger about the creation of the Penguin, Edward G. Robinson actually came up as one of the
I'll be down.
Yeah, he actually came up, and I wish I could remember where I got that from, but I do remember thinking that, because I remember the mental note that I made was, wait, the guy from the Ten Commandments would have been the Penguin?
Where's your Messiah now, Batman?
Yeah, Batman.
Sorry, wrong period, Batman.
Moses in the basket, the basket's in the river, Batman.
Oh my God. Talk about layered.
Which is a weird connection to the Tim Burton Penguin, because it starts out where he's in the basket floating in the water.
He was Moses, wasn't he?
He was Moses as a verb. This is the first time ever Moses has been used as a verb.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really pleased with myself.
The bull rushes.
I'm really pleased with myself right now. But I want to... I'm going on record.
Since, like, Sunday school.
I'm going on record right now. How far are we out right now, Cole, would you say, for episodes of the show, for issues?
In what regard?
Like, how far booked are we?
Oh, we actually have, and I keep adding them. In fact, today there's a potential for one more. We have, I believe we are booked solid through March of next year.
Okay, so
predetermined, you know, what we know we're going
to
do.
I'm inviting Eddie back for this issue that I'm about to pitch of Hey Kids Comics.
Yeah, there's another one.
I want to do an issue where we cast movies through different eras of different comic books.
Oh my gosh.
So we could have like a 30s, a 50s, the Western.
Right?
Yeah, and we cast those. And I want to have that show at the end of this chain of shows.
Who was in Thomas Edison's Superman?
Right, who was in... Who was in...
Edison Studios presents Superman before he was invented.
I totally want to do, like, the Roger Corman JLA.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I also don't forget that Tesla put out Shazam first, and then Edison bought it and put out Superman.
Oh, nice. Nice. Tesla is Fawcett Comics.
Nice! Yes! Yes! What is happening on this show right now? Are we having a brain baby? I think we did. I think we gave birth to something tonight. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Alright. Alright. Well, we need to start wrapping this up, so I need final thoughts on the Penguin. I actually think we did it justice throughout all of what we just talked about. I think we covered all the points of the Penguin.
Okay, I just thought of a question I want to pose to everyone. And okay. I don't even know how to answer this myself, so hopefully y'all will inspire me to answer this. If you could own a custom Penguin umbrella to do, you know, something deadly, what would it be? Or it didn't have to be deadly. What would your Penguin custom umbrella do?
Wow.
I personally favor the old 60s Batman, the 63 smoke umbrellas. I love me some colored smoke. I'm such a child.
Only because for July 4th, you like to get the little smoke bombs. And
or have a Roman candle umbrella.
This is why Cole doesn't have an umbrella.
That's right. That's literally, I'm not allowed to have it. I just have to go wet.
For me, it would be the helicopter umbrella.
Ah, yes.
That never really worked right. That would be my...
You you have the do you like the handheld, or do you like the Tim Burton with the foot stirrup?
No, no, I would want the handheld that pops up and then all the
and dislocates your shoulder.
Right, it just and goes. It goes for, like, the Wile E. Coyote. As long as you don't look down, it works. But as soon as you do...
you have to pull out the umbrella that opens up and says, uh-oh.
All right, Eddie, get creative. What do you think, man?
I'm going to go with an umbrella. And can I get real here for a minute?
Yeah, let's get real. Oprah.
Okay. Any young listeners, go away for 3 minutes. Okay.
Oh, is that kind of an umbrella?
It's getting soft.
I can't wait to hear.
Okay, so... Colleen is pretty open to any kind of fantasies.
Oh my God, this is getting real. This is getting real. All right.
I got like an inch of wine left in my bottle, so that should tell you where I'm coming
from. That's not where I thought he was going, but I like it.
I thought he was describing your lightsaber.
Right. Right.
Okay, so he's pretty open to things. Now, there is one fantasy that I have yet to pitch or that I've wanted to pitch.
Oh no.
Since Batman Returns came out.
Oh, God.
So you've had this little thing going on for, what, nearly 20 years now?
Yeah,
or
well,
this is going to be one hell of a way to end the show. All right.
So my thought was to have this little encounter, let's say, where she is dressed as the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman. Okay. I would in turn be the Danny DeVito Penguin. And my umbrella, which I would want custom made, would be the sex toy.
Would you teach her your French flipper trick?
Dang it!
Eddie, if it makes you feel any better, I have had the Michael Keaton, Kim Basinger grappling hook fantasy for a really long time. So I'm there with you. I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. There is another fantasy. I'm glad you brought there. I did have a Batman Kim Basinger fantasy. Is the deleted scene that came in after he knocked her out and she woke back up in her apartment and the film was missing. I always fantasize what that deleted scene in between what happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially, it's obvious that, number one, it's like bat date rape.
Right. It's bat roofinol.
It's obviously he's drugged her, and he's obviously gotten very handsy under her top.
Yeah, yeah. Under the guise of retrieving the film.
Exactly. Right. And what you don't see is that the straps for a bra got cut on the scallops off his glove.
Well, see, as long as we're talking about 1989 Batman fantasies... I've always had this fantasy between, you know, not the Batman, but Bruce Wayne and that black turtleneck he's wearing. I just want to know what's going on there.
Because you wanted me to kill a man for his cardigan once.
I did.
So I could see where that would come from.
Oh, yeah.
In your fantasy, let me get this straight.
Yeah, go ahead. Work it out. Work it out.
Not unlike a Pekingese. Your fantasy is basically you humping the black turtleneck.
No, no. The fantasy is I am the black turtleneck.
Even better.
Really, just either one. I could be Michael Keaton, and he could be the black turtleneck. I could be the black turtleneck.
Doesn't matter. Either way, it works.
You want to be wrapped around Michael Keaton's neck, basically.
But only as the black turtleneck.
Yes. Okay, I actually do have a Batman cinematic fantasy as well.
Okay, I started here.
It involves Batman and Robin. Alicia Silverstone.
I'm hard already.
I have this fantasy that she's not in the damn movie.
Nice, yeah, right.
Thank goodness, because for a minute I thought your fantasy, when you said Alicia Silverstone, was going to involve Alicia Silverstone and Uncle Alfred.
Oh, wow. Well, there's that, too. But
I have a fantasy
with
that...
With a different actress and bat nipples on her costume.
I have a fantasy about that movie, too, where I'm the black light. Damn it. All right, I'm putting it into this right now.
You're the black light.
I have a fantasy where all three of us are the black light gorillas.
Oh, God.
I haven't really worked out the particulars yet.
It doesn't need them.
No,
it doesn't need
fantasy where he's the black light being handled by Joel Schumacher.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a cod piece. Let's all be honest. If he had a black light that he was shining on all those weird Day of the Dead ninjas jumping around Chris O'Donnell, it was mounted on his crotch, and he's just thrusting it at them like, no, get it, do it, Batmobile.
A black light mounted on his crotch is about the most epic thing to ever come out of this podcast.
And this coming from a longtime listener, no less.
Right, right. Contributor at that. All right. I'm ending this now. I'm ending this. Thank you for joining us for the Penguin issue of Roguish Eyes.
That's right.
This was...
Oh, my gosh.
Next time we have Eddie on the show, we will all be dressed in colorful gorilla suits.
That's right.
I just had the stark realization that it's a good possibility that Josh Watson's going to listen to this episode. And think, oh my gosh! I don't want my name associated with that podcast in any way whatsoever.
He's going to regret recommending this show.
Yeah, he's going to think, thank God. And Josh, if you're listening, I hope that you're thinking, thank God I got to come on and class up the joint in between the awful Bernie Sanders Donald Trump impressions and whatever I just listened to.
Everything seemed even milder now by comparison.
Oh my God! So let's review. There was
well, how come we didn't get to talk about that sort of stuff when I was on?
That's right. So we had adult onset Zika. We had release the finger. We shared our Batman 89 sex fantasies.
There was a lot of Bill fingering going on.
There was,
It was a
eye-opening issue of Hey Kids Comics, if nothing else. Oh, Eddie, where can we... I know that it's going to pretty much overlap what Cole says, but Eddie, where can we find you out there in the ether?
Do you have anything to do with any of this anymore?
Yeah, you own up to this. Where can we find you if people want to listen to your stuff, my man?
Well, you could find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Just whatever, eddiemedina.com. But I made a promise when it came to the plugs. I promised our good friend Bobby Blakey that I would plug him on this show.
Good. Plug his new website. Plug his new website.
What a better episode to plug him
on. I know, right? Damn it.
Okay,
BillFingerBang.com.
Oh, I'm checking if that's a website right now. You guys go right ahead.
What is that? What? BillFinger what?
BillFingerBang.com.
No one owns BillFingerBang.com.
The man gave us the most iconic characters in comicdom, and that's how we repay the man. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I get these websites right, because Bobby will drop kick me otherwise. Okay, so Big Dumb Gorilla Studios, it's B-D, as in dog, G-entertainment.com. And his new site that he does with his wife, Drew, is Hollywood Matrimony. I know you can find it on Facebook. Let me see if... okay, here goes. Oh, it's easy. HollywoodMatrimony.com.
Oh.
So there you go, Bobby Blakey. I plugged you.
Thank you, Master Blakey.
Hey, Bobby, I know I'm a dick. I'm going to call you. I'm sorry. I've been busy. There,
right?
I've apologized.
Hold on. While y'all do the rest of the plugs, I'm going to find my response to Bobby because I can't remember it after this bottle of wine. But y'all go ahead. I'll come in.
I don't blame you there. Hopefully you'll forget you were ever on this show, because this was one you'll probably want to forget. Here at the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can look for tweets at the Jedi Cole U if you want to look for us on Twitter. Write to us. Please write to us at JCUmail.com. We have an upcoming issue. Hey Kids Comics Presents, number 3, is going to be the topic. And we would like if you would send us some questions, you know, be it who would win in a fight between, or what are our thoughts on a certain character, how do we feel about a certain comic book movie, anything you might want to ask us, just send us some questions, please, or on the Jedi Cole Universe or Hey Kids Comics on Facebook, very rarely mentioned here for some inexplicable reason. And Eddie and I just got through having a brilliant time as co-hosts of the Tournament of Costumes as panelists. Myself as a moderator and panelist and game show host. And
yeah.
All kinds of stuff. As what one person describes as AllCon Light. At Infinicon, which...
That's a good way of describing it. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
It was a fun... It was like if you've ever wanted AllCon in the summer, I have it on good authority. I think I am safe to say now, AllCon 2017, the Jedi Cole universe will be there again in force. Look for us out there. I believe it'll still be in Addison at the Crown Plaza. AllCon 2017... AllCon 13 will be at the Crown Plaza in Addison next year as well. So be sure and check that out. Be sure and support Infinicon. We had a fun, intimate turnout, but it'd be nice to see this thing grow. I believe they actually had a bigger turnout than the first year of AllCon. So if you heard, well, that show didn't get anybody to show up. Well, you know, 13 years later, here comes AllCon again. So,
yeah.
You know, check it out. Check out all of the great conventions all over the state of Texas. There were seven last weekend. Seven. When we were at Infinicon, there were six other shows going on.
But Infinicon was the best.
Infinicon was
seven.
The best.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot stress how much fun Infinicon was.
Years, amazing. If you ever see either of them at a convention, go and talk to these people. They have amazing tales to tell. And ask Dickie Beer about what happened when Holland legalized marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Or don't ask him.
Because he'll know how come you know, and come kick my ass because he looks like somebody could, well, most people could kick my ass, but there you have it. But, God, what else do we have to plug? Oh, check that all out at Convention Awareness Project Texas at cap-tx.info. And look for myself, and I believe Eddie as well, next year. We're already getting ready for next year, even though there's other stuff coming up. Check us out next year. I know I'll be at Lepicon. I believe Eddie will be as well. We'll be at AllCon and Finicon and a lot of other great shows in the new year. There might even be some stuff late this year, but I'm too veg to tell. And I haven't had a drop of wine. So,
well, guys, thank you so
much.
Wait, Andy, I'm sorry. Before you get, yeah, I found the conversation. So I had to say this, that, you know, Bobby was bringing up the fact when I brought that I was going to be doing the podcast, he was saying, tell Andy that he's pissed for ignoring my phone calls. And I said, he's a recluse. He's like the Steve Ditko of podcasts.
Wow.
To which Bobby responded,
of course,
I'm going to kick him in his Ditko if he keeps ignoring me.
Oh, Bobby, I'm so sorry. And in honor of Bobby, and I will say this, I love you, Bobby. I am looking at my wall of honorary Bobby Blakey art, and I'm not kidding, my Moon Knight, my Green Lanterns that I have from him, my commemorative Cole Houston art that I have, some of the art from that was inspired by our show here, and I love you, Bobby, and in honor of you, I just purchased BillFingerBang.com. We now officially own BillFingerBang.com. No, I am not kidding. We own.
I want to moderate that.
And once we launch the new website, I will redirect BillFingerBang.com to the Jedi Cole universe. Bobby,
oh,
you are a friend of the show. We love you. And I will put on the website at the very top on a banner in honor of Bobby Blakey.
Nice.
This is BillFingerBang.com.
I love it.
There you go. Which rogue are we dealing with next week, Cole?
Next week, I think we're going to, ideally, it depends on the scheduling, but we're looking at very likely a flip of the coin. So, of course, we're going to be doing Killer Croc.
No, right. I wish I was Two-Face.
I wish I was Two-Face.
Eddie, what can I say, man?
I wish I was Two-Face. If you haven't heard it explained 100 times on shows already that I'm part of.
Eddie Red Moscato Medina, I don't know what we would do without you. You are a patron and a saint and a gentleman and a scholar, and we appreciate you more than you can know, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for making this amazing.
Anytime I can come on my favorite podcast, it is a blast. It is a blast. I tell this to people.
Or a bang, like, for that matter.
You know, podcasting is a big part of my life now. It started as me teaching podcasting to high schoolers and middle schoolers and never having like a public accessible podcast out there for people to listen to. But it was Hey Kids Comics that really made me sit and think, dang, I've got to get into a podcast.
If Cole so can
anytime,
do this.
Anytime I can get on this show, it's an honor.
I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself tonight after the show, but...
I know, I'm like, I don't want to sleep or anything. I just want to, like, stay awake for days and come up with stupid dick jokes.
I just want to listen to Boston in some big can headphones. It's on a back porch somewhere.
I just want to stay up all night researching the career of Bill Finger, who I've slighted in so many ways.
I really want to acknowledge the fact that because... In a non-circuitous way, Eddie came on a show about the Penguin, and the beginning, and 2 hours ago, Eddie came on a comic book podcast about the Penguin that we were going to take very seriously. At the end of 2 hours, ended with us buying the domain BillFingerBang.com.
Only on the taste of you, folks.
Is it safe to say the podcast is over? I can go put my pants back on.
The podcast is over. Thanks, everybody. Good night.